Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to this word. God is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Understanding has come to you again today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The ability to pray and get the results that God desires has come to you again today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As a result of this evening's meeting, something different will happen in your prayer life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can pray prayers that get results, but you can pray prayers that please God. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
The emphasis is on what? The one that pleases the Lord. The one that pleases the Lord. That's what we are aiming for. Sometimes we Christian pastors, we preach as if the aim of prayer is just to get results. No, it's not. The aim of prayer is to please God. It's to please God. That's why some people refuse deliverance and God said, that's a good guy. That's a good man. Are you getting my point? You have to know how to pray the prayer that God wants, not the one that you want. Not the one that you want. All right? And that's the target of all of these things. We are becoming like God Himself. We're not trying to use the power of God to establish ourselves in our own ways. That's what sometimes people do, what they call Christianity. They use the power of God to establish themselves in their own ways. You understand? You say, I want something, I must get it. I will use every spiritual power available to get what I want. No, what we want as believers is to become what God wants us to be. And that's what we're talking about. And that's the spirit that will enter you in a greater measure again today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, before we sit down, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 119. We're going to read it together. That's what we have been looking at, the most important prayer. Where did we end last time? Okay, 120. Okay, let's start from 121. All right? But this time around, we are likely to read till the end. The reason is because, like I said, there's now a lot of repetition going on. And like I said something last time, the reason why, I was just looking at it, and please, I think we should do that. I think we should do that. All of us should learn to do it. Just take these psalms and use it to pray. It's important. Use it to pray. You know, the impression, you know, sometimes Christians have a problem with staying in a balance. They have a problem with that. You know, Pentecostals, when we came, it was as if we threw away every prayer book. You know that? Yeah, when was I learning the word of faith? We threw away every prayer book. We laughed at people that had prayer books. What kind of nonsense is that? You pray by the Spirit. The Spirit is what he used to pray. And then the person that prays the best, one that prays in tongues. You know, we look back now and say, small pekinosis is not good. Though. You know what it's called? Small pekinosis. Small child, pekinosis. It's a disease of being a small child for a long time. That's a joke. I hope you know. Don't go and quote that. One doctor said, you know, we're just children. We threw away everything. So our things that are good, we threw away. But as we are growing, of course, we keep on discovering those things. We keep on discovering those things. The book of Psalms was a prayer book, all right? It doesn't mean you cannot say your own prayers. It doesn't mean you can't utter your own words. But when you see words that have been used, captured by the Spirit, and written for you, in that situation, is the best words to use. Is the best words to use. Those are the best words to use in that situation. That's just the best thing. So what I'm going to say is that, and then having looked through it, you know, I looked through it again and again. Yet this morning, I showed my wife something when she came to the room early in the morning. I said, baby, look at this. I just saw from 119 verses 147 and 148. All right. I just discovered that David said that I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Now let me read that from New Living Translation. He said, I cry out. I rise early. Before the sun is up, I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. Now, he also said in verse 148, my eyes, this New American Standard, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. He said, New Living Translation put like this, I stay awake through the night thinking about your promise. Do you understand my point? That they don't wake up at night is to do what? Meditate on the word of God. I thought about it. I said, look, this is what, that's what I'm trying to say. Let's take this Psalm 119 and just take it and and read the prayers. You know, you're not just chanting it, you are reading the prayers if you are the one saying them. All right? Like I said before, if you get to a particular place and it appears like your life is not up to the standard of what David was talking about there by the Spirit, what you will do is that you will repent of that shortcoming. Do you follow my point? And then you start declaring that by faith. They will say, I have obeyed your ordinances. I have kept your commandments. All right? If you realize that you have not been following carefully the ordinances of the Lord, what you will do is that you will repent. It becomes for you a point of repentance. It becomes for you a point of repentance. But then the idea is that you take those scriptures and start declaring them as if you are the one praying them. Very, very beautiful. And I think why David, the one I'm talking about is that you see repetition coming again and again. And that is because, you know, sometime earlier in the year, we talked about repetition that's not vain.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Jesus talked about vain repetition.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about the repetition that's not vain. This is my year of breakthrough. Lord, you will give me money. You will give me a car. Again, I say, that's repetition that is vain. Yeah. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
David will tell you things like, I meditate on your ordinances. I meditate on your commandments. When you hear all of those things, that's not repetition. That's not vain repetition. All right? When you're repeating these words, it's not vain repetition. I thought about it when I read that particular portion, the one I just read to us now, 147, that when Jesus will get up and pray all night, these are the kind of things he does. These are the kind of things he used to do. You see many things that the Lord Jesus said, written clearly in these scriptures. I was just reading through it, and I make notes. You know, I like, thank God for technology. I thought technology is for something good. It's not for gossip. For me, technology is to be able to, my Bible apps that I use, any verse I read, I'm blessed by, I put my notes inside. It's saved in the server. You should do that. You should do that. It's very good. You can find it anytime, even if you change your Bible. Buy a new device, you'll still be able to find it. Now, I look through it, you see, I find that there's many, many things that Jesus prayed. Okay? And exactly those words are inside here. So how do you pray effectively? It's not by, look, praying in tongues is correct, amen?
Yeah.
I believe in it. Paul said it, I pray in the, he said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit what? Prays. He said, sometimes I pray in my understanding, sometimes I pray in an unknown tongue. So it is clear, it's scripture, I'm not saying it's not, okay? But it doesn't mean you are more spiritual than the person that's not doing that. The most effective prayer, the most correct prayer is when the word of God is what you are releasing. You know, my wife went somewhere the other day. She said she was just noticing people were praying. You know, there are kind of prayers that we hardly, you know, in fact, she found it so strange. Like sometimes binding and losing things. I said, why are you binding this thing? Lift the word of God over it. It is bound. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Just lift the word of God over a situation. Every time you lift God's word over something, believe me, that is the most powerful prayer. That's why sometimes the prayer you need to pray is God. When Jesus said pray like this, give us this day our daily bread. There are two realms of that. There's physical bread, give us money, give us food. But there is another side people often forget. Give us the word that we'll use to battle for this season. Very crucial. That, look, God releases a word to you. If I have to pray about money, I can discuss with the Lord, though, this amount of money I think I will need, because sometimes you are not even sure of what you need. You think you need 10 naira, the Lord says you don't need more than 1 naira 50. Sometimes the Lord says you think you need 10 naira, when this thing drop for your head, you know that you need like 200. So when I want to pray, I can't remember specific. I can discuss with the Lord because we are praying, you know, you're talking. Lord, look at the situation. This will be solved for this amount, this will be solved for this amount. But when I want to really get into the depth of prayer, I don't say anything like that. I just leave the scripture and declare it over the situation. Because the word of God can think. The word of God knows exactly how much money is needed. And he knows how to recruit the angels that go and bring the exact amount. So there's no point to say, people think faith is when, you declare the exact amount and I told the Lord it's going to be 1.56 million. And then it's one level of faith. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just one level. So don't think that unless you can do that and be so sure. Stop saying things you can't be sure of. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you how you pray when you want to ask God for some things. If you wanted to ask God for this flyer now, this flyer is basically is bluish themed, right? Uh-huh. If the Lord will give you a brownish themed one and you will accept, then don't ask for a blue one. That's unbelief. Because you say, Lord, I need a blue flyer and brown one comes to collect. You are doubting. Do you get my point?
Yes.
That is why they said, tell God what kind of woman you like. Because she must be 1.68 meters tall. What if she comes and she's 1.72? You go say, Lord, she's too tall. Cut in leg, small. You won't say that. So for me, anything you are willing to compromise on, don't make a specific request about it. If I need a car, I won't ask God for color because I know that if I'm saying, God, make it white and it brings blue, I will jump at the blue. Then why creates confusion in heaven? The angels will just be wondering, who is this car for, you or somebody else? So to be sure, to pray in faith, don't ask for things you cannot hold on rigidly to. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? I want to pray for a wife. Lord, give me a good wife. Somebody who together we can do your will. So that together with her, I can fulfill the purpose you called both of us into. You know that one, there's no compromise. If she will not be like that, the answer is no. I'd rather be single. Give me a good woman. If a bad woman comes, I say, Lord, you know, I said good. But if you start praying some of these prayers that I want my wife to be a graduate of the University of Benin. What if she graduates from the University of Nigeria? You know, go agree. Say, Lord, she's okay, but this one are from Port Harcourt University. I say, you need Ben. You know you won't say that. For that reason, don't put that one in your prayer point. Don't create confusion in your own soul. You become double-minded. That's the point. And when you are double-minded, you cannot receive from God. You know, sometimes I preach things that other people don't preach, but please, just reason about it with scripture. You know what I'm saying is very, very reasonable. People say, be very specific. I don't believe that. He said, Jesus asked that man, what do you want me to do? He said, let me see. Man wants to see. I mean, what other option is that one? No, really. That means it is good enough to say, Lord, I want a good wife. Is that not the same thing as I want to see? He didn't say, God, I want to see. I want my red color, my red sight to be sharp. I don't want to be colorblind in any dimension. I want my vision to be 20/20 when I'm looking like this. And in the evening, I want my rhodopsin to wake up. I don't want you. You don't say that. The man just said, I want to see. I want to be cleansed. He didn't say, I want to be cleansed in 5 minutes on 24 hours. Now just cleansing, commodity this leprosy. That's what I'm going to say. Some of these specificities we get into, it creates confusion in our souls. People say, look, I'm declaring that by this week, my sales will be 1 million naira. By this week, my sales will be 1 million naira. By this week, my sales will be 1 million naira. There are things I don't say. I don't believe they are necessary. Okay, if God give me a sale of 950,000, I go fight. If he says, okay, the sales will be 5 million, we will say, no, I can't handle it. So what do I say? It's simple. Lord, this week, I am fruitful. I multiply. I fill the earth. I have dominion. I'm fruitful. I multiply. I fill the earth. According to the word of God, in all that I do, I prosper. Stop putting your own confused mind inside that prayer. After all, that 1 million you are saying is because somebody said do financial planning. If you sell 1 million this week, your profit this amount, after 6 months you'll be like this. You don't know that God intends to shut that business down after 5 months. No, 5 months is shutting it down and moving you somewhere else. You can't plan your life, the word of God can. It is the word of God that can do the planning, not you. So learn to think the word. Learn to talk the word. Learn to talk the word. Learn to pray with it. Stop harassing God every time with your desires. These desires can be reviewed. They can be reviewed. There are things you pray for some time. Then when the environment changes, you change it again. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Let the word think for you. The word of God brings things into your life you did not know you needed. You are getting my point here? We'll talk more about this. Let's read this. Let's read so we can sit down. Let's do it the normal way we have been doing that. But we are going to read very far. As we are going on, I might stop here and there to pass some comments. If I feel like we're taking too much time, we'll stop somewhere. But I want us to read a lot, all right? Now, let's start from verse 121. David said, I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. 122. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. 123. My eyes fill with longing for your salvation and for your righteous word. 124. Deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. Now that is, what was David saying there? This is how God does good to me. 124. That's verse 124. This is how God deals with me with unfailing love. When he deals with me according to his loving kindness, what he gives me is instruction, teaching. Like I say all the time, God does not ever bless your disobedience. A sign of love is what? Correction. If you are walking in ignorance, God will not bless your ignorance. What he will do is what? Correct you. And you get my point. So a sign that God is about to bless somebody is that he's being corrected. Let me tell you, if you are receiving correction, it's a sign of blessing. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Very important. So David said, deal with your servant according to your loving kindness and teach me your statutes. He said in 125, I'm your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. 126. It's time for the Lord to act, for they have broken your law. He said, therefore, I love your commandments above gold. Yes, above fine gold. Let me read that again. David said, I love your commandments. Everybody say after me, I love his commandments.
I love his commandments.
More than money.
More than money.
Yes.
Yes.
More than US dollars.
More than US dollars.
Yes, let's call it, are you getting my point? Most people don't know gold. They think gold is a ring. No, that's what we think. We think it's necklace. When David was talking about gold, he wasn't talking about the one he wore on his neck. It's the one he used to buy things. And David was saying here, I love these commandments more than gold. Yes, above fine gold. 128. Therefore, I esteem right all your precepts concerning everything, and I hate every false way. Now, that is very important for us to understand. What was David saying here? I love your commandments. I love them. I love them more than pure gold, fine gold. He says the result of this is what I want to just talk about briefly. He said, for that reason, because of the understanding that your commandments give me, I hate every false way. What that means is that, now there's a commandment, don't love false way. Are you getting what I'm saying? But now, because that commandment has given me understanding, when I see false ways, I know it doesn't lead anywhere good. Do you get my point? Yes, I know. I know it doesn't lead anywhere good. Like the one I've given as an example. Somebody, people could start looking for quick money. No matter how sure it is, I don't want it. I don't want it. They get the percentage of the people that win lottery. This all these big lotteries in US, in Europe, people will win $100 million at a go. If you hear the percentage of those who commit suicide over the next few years, you'll be shocked. You will have thought that when you have all that money, all your troubles will go away. So now it doesn't excite me. Say, man, they found $100 million in this guy's house. Ha! If I see that kind of money now, oh God. There are prayers I don't pray. God, that kind of money brings that kind of headache. It brings that kind of trouble. Do you follow my point? David was saying here, understanding. When the Lord gives me understanding, what is the result of it? The result is that I understand that the thing he said is not good, is not good. Do you understand my point? Of course, you know that our joke. That if God comes now and says that, okay, Banky, I've revised the law, especially those of you who have been preaching. You've been preaching hard, traveling and preaching the gospel. Now you can marry three wives. I'll say, God, give Okemute two of my own. The one you have given me is good enough. That is assuming he changes his mind. I say, now you can have two extra. I will donate one to Israel and give Felix the second one. Are you getting my point? Why? Having contemplated his precepts all these years, I have seen that it's not a good thing. So when God says, don't do this, it's like buying a phone. Don't dip it in water. You say, is it Samsung that owns it? It's not my money. Are you getting my point? You say, look, I like checking my text messages in the bathroom when I'm lying in my jacuzzi. You're on your own. Are you getting my point? It's not for their own good that they gave you the instruction. It's for your own good. So that's what David was saying. That I've gotten to a point now that I fully understand it. So now it's not just about the commandment. It is now because I have understanding, I now know that the false way is not good for me. You get my point here? Let's continue reading now. 129, he said, your testimonies are wonderful. Don't forget, we should take time out. You can just take this thing, maybe one for 2 days. Go over a few portions. Go do it again and again. Number of times a day. Then go to the next portion again. Do it a number of times a day. That's what you should do with this. All right? 129, your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light, gives understanding to the simple. These are important scriptures. The same thing I've been saying. If the word of God is clear to you, it helps you understand the rest of life. It wasn't talking about understanding the word. No. When the word of God comes to you, he gives you understanding. When my wife, of course, after we got married and stuff, we've been married for a number of years. One day my wife came home one day, she was telling me a story of something that happened. Somebody she encountered, she went with a particular team when they traveled that time to China. So on the way, just giving me gist later along the line about something that happened. She told me about one young lady that was there, the way the girl was behaving. I said, that girl dates sugar daddies. She said, my husband, how did you know? I said, that is a behavior of... do you get what I'm saying? I said, just by... you should just think that, look, there was a large team, you understand? That the way this girl was just behaving. Which kind of behavior is this? Just telling me about it. I said, that one, forget. Look. Sugar daddy is her portion. She told me that, actually, one of the people said that, that is Oga's babe. How did I know? Are you getting my point? I told her the story once. My wife told me that something that happened to somebody. And I told her, I said, look, tell that person that your husband wants to kill you. And you know me, I'm not a very witch is after you. But whether witch is after you or not, that your husband wants to kill you occultically. Is that English correct? Is it correct? Occultically. But you got my idea, Abby. Yes, you understand what I'm trying to say. Yes. Yeah, it's true. It may just be correct, though. And I said he has tried because of her righteousness. He had failed. He was trying to entice her to do evil. And I said, that is the reason. So I went to my office. I told one of my colleagues, he said, Lucy, wait in my ICU, just talking about, look at what I heard. Before I finished, he said, that guy is in a cult. He needs to kill that woman for certain reasons. I said, exactly what I told my wife when she told me the story. I like one thing he said. He said, is it today we started Christianity? He said, it's not today. We understand these things. That by interacting, he had never been in the occult. I've never been in the occult. But just by interacting with the word of God, I said, why would somebody say this? He said, that woman needs to die. And he has tried. So when we see some of the things we say, it's not that I don't say there's no spiritual power. I'm just saying that the real spiritual power is you, the one you are looking at right here. And the one that is looking at this one right here. That is people that are in Christ Jesus. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If you do me like this, you go see. My own. If you say that thing again, you won't see again. it won't bother me. It won't bother me one bit. I'm not afraid. I'm more afraid of a blade. If you pursue me with the blade, I may run. But if you drop the blade and bring the biggest jazz in the world, all the incantation, that's my area. I will turn back and face you. So let us toss it for each other. I'll give you only one. In Los Angeles 84, when Carl Lewis won he won 4 gold medals. He won for 100 meters, then 4 by 100, that's male, and then he won by 4, that's 4 by 100, that's the relay. Then he won 200 meters, and then the long jump. The long jump is the one I remember. You know the way they do jumping? You are giving how many attempts? 3. So they take the best of 3. Carl Lewis did 1 and walked away. Told everybody, catch that one if you can. I remember Carl Lewis. The guy jumped. We watched that time. The man jumped. He looked at it. They measured it. Are you going again? He shook his head and walked away. Nobody. Look, like we say in Benin those days, no guy. Nobody came near it. In the same manner, if you face me like that, I will drop one scripture for you. And I walk away. And be sure that, just pray to your God, I drop the weak, the gentle one. Because there's a gentle one that just protects me, doesn't harm you. I do not the incantation. I just tell you, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I walk away. You may be safe. If I turn to the other one, say, the wicked has drawn an arrow. They have drawn their bow to shoot the arrow into the heart of the righteous. Into their own heart shall the arrows go. You are dead. I can give you the gentler one. If you want to make me afraid, chase me with a matchstick. That one is better. But if you want to try anything that you think is occultic, oh boy, that's my zone. Drop one scripture. Just one. Like, at least be chasing that one. The angels will beat. They will beat you. It's only if there's hope for salvation. That's how you survive. So let's injure this guy. Make him, give him a stroke, paralyze him for 6 weeks in hospital. Peradventure, he will believe. But if your case was a hopeless case, one of our brothers, happened to him now. His own was even physical. Somebody drew a gun. Said, we come down, I will shoot you. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit possessed him. And he said, shoot me. He said, in the name of Jesus, die. True story. He was in his car in Benin. He said, in the name of Jesus, die. Next thing you know, that guy fell to the ground. His gun hit the road. He heard the metal hitting the road. He drove off. Look, if I was not a Christian, I would join Ogbonio. I'm telling you, this life is too dangerous. You can't just be walking recklessly anyhow. I will cook something, eat serious things. I won't be even going to cemetery. No, I will go to the mountains of the Himalayas. Go and collect something better. Why we don't do those things is that we have things that are far bigger, things that are more powerful. I like the way I sleep. I don't pray. I don't pray. Again, just watch over this house as I'm about to sleep. What's your job before? I just give God thanks all the time. I know the protection of the Almighty is in my life. The Lord is good.
All the time.
What I'm trying to say is that, back to that issue, I'm just going to explain something. So someone will just understand these things by interacting with scriptures. Just by interacting with the word of God, we understand things. And that's what David was saying. He said, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let me read the next verse. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. 132. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. That is God's nature. Is to turn and be gracious to those who love his name. He says, establish my footsteps in your word and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. That verse 133 says exactly what Jesus was teaching us when he was teaching us to pray. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When he said deliver us from evil, it's exactly this, that he don't let iniquity have dominion over us. He was not saying deliver us from evil being done against us. He was saying, don't let us do evil. That's what Jesus was saying. It's important prayer. Important for us. That's why I said, don't lead us into temptation. Instead, deliver us from doing evil. I believe he lifted it from here. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, let me read 135 now. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water because they do not keep your law. That is, you're just feeling sorry for other people who are walking away from the commandments of the Lord. But the sign of God's favor in the life of his servant, like we said earlier, is the understanding of his statutes. Let me just say something, please, again. If you know what Solomon said? And it was David that taught him that too. I'm sure you know that. Solomon said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, do what? Get wisdom. He told us to go after knowledge. He told us to go after understanding. If you must have something, if God must do something for you, if he tells you, ask me for one thing, please ask for understanding. If God were to give you the opportunity, all right, let your number one desire should be what? Understanding. Wisdom. Knowledge. To know something. Look, I'm telling you, today my wife and I were talking. We were just discussing some things. And we said that, look, money was something led to it. I said, this life is vain. Vain. Vanity. I was just telling her some things. So people said, I have to build the house, build the house. All those people are just telling her some things. All of them are now trying to rebuild another one. I don't know what I get my point. Yes. 15 years ago, many of them, I had to build, They built. 10 years later, they don't like it again. One of my colleagues, he said he had a house for rent. He's living in quarters somewhere. Why are you renting the house out? That neighborhood. Whose house is it? It's my own. When did you be? I built this time. You know, he said he can't live there again. He can't sleep. Like when he's sleeping, he can't sleep with two eyes. He has to keep one eye open. So for at the time we're speaking, the house had been vacant for almost a year. We're looking for a tenant. He had been reducing the rent. Nobody wanted it to. The way you packed it away, that's how the rest of us too don't want to live there. Don't be in a hurry to build a house. Because if it's a car, you can drive it away. If you build the house in the wrong area, you can't carry it. And usually, how you go take care of it? And usually when you don't have too much money that you want to build, you buy cheap land. And usually when you buy cheap land, there are not many people around you. So you'll be the first to get there, then the other troublemakers will start growing around you. This life, look, if God says, listen, ask me for something, say, God, please help me to understand life. Yes. Help me understand what is important. If God opens your eyes, just opens your eyes, you look from the heavenly angle to this earth. Some prayer points, you beg the Lord, can you erase that from even your own memory? Say, Lord, please. I prayed that. We look back now. Look, when I was getting married that day, I remember a pair of shoes I bought and shirt I bought for the wedding. I felt bad long after. It was an expensive pair of shoes. I didn't enjoy it one day. And I thought, if I had worn the old shoe I had, who would have known? But between me and my bride, we confused ourselves that new shoe is important for the wedding. New suit. If you have money, buy a new suit. But if you don't have, wear the old one. Don't worry. We all assume it is new. It's not wedding. Yeah. We all we assume it is new. These days, the way God has done my life, those who wanted to wear, they said, go. I went to the goldsmith up to 4 times. I remember that time they chose brought us catalog. The guy is a goldsmith in Lagos. He'll make anything for you. We look the ring. By the 3rd visit, we finally settled for the normal old plain ring. We don't do ring, go front, go check catalog. Finally, we went for the old. And I realized later, it's poverty. Believe me, it's poverty. You say, well, how come it's poverty? I'll tell you. If I felt very rich, anything I wear, everybody assumes it is gold. It's poor people that suffer. If $1 goes to the market and buys a shirt for 500 naira and wears it, you will sit down and be wearing and say, oh, mossy shirt. Oh, guys! It won't cross your mind that this is 500 naira. One day I went for a function and they don't go here. I saw one man inside the hall, in the church. I looked at his suit. I told my wife, look at this foolish suit this man is wearing. No, I didn't tell her. I think I was just thinking it. But I told my wife later. I didn't like the suit one bit. What kind of funny suit is this? Funny color. I told my wife, are you a musician? Why are you dressed like this? Then we came out. Now, when I entered, I saw some exotic cars. Like you go for a wedding, you see a Bentley, you see a Rolls Royce. About 3 of them were parked in a row. I didn't know who owned it. So I entered the church. I saw this guy, looked at his foolish suit he's wearing. Then I continued my day. Then he came out and entered one of those cars. So I looked at the suit again. I'm serious. So I told my wife that day, I said, I'm sure that suit is worth nothing less than $1,000 or $2,000. Yes. In fact, I told my wife, I said, this suit this guy is wearing, it cannot be worth less than $2,000. Because I didn't know him personally. I couldn't recognize him. But I knew his company. That's the MD, the owner. Now I look at the suit again. I don't abuse the suit tire before. So you can imagine if he was a poor man that paid $1,000 for a suit. Then that's how I go dish the suit. So he has to wear an expensive one to make me know his suit is good. But When you don't hammer, you know, when you're soaking guy with groundnut, you say, I like that man, he's very humble. He's very humble. He doesn't make a fuss about food. If his wife, you know, there's no pressure, you just carry garri, put groundnut in it, put sugar. Eh? You'll be admiring it. But let him be owing his landlord rent. And he's sowing garri, say, ah, suffering won't kill this guy. Many of our problems in our life is in the head. They are not real. They are not real. They are not real. That's why I said, if God were to open your eyes, you see the people from heaven, the way angels have seen this life, you will withdraw some prayer points. You will withdraw some prayer points. The Lord is good. So that's why I said, if you have to ask God for something, don't be asking this one prayer. This night is my night of million. Begin to pray. It's not, those are rubbish prayer points. Real prayer points, say, Lord, confusion has come out of my life. In the name of Jesus, I have understanding. I will not be confused anymore. I look back at some of the expenditure I made during my wedding. I shouldn't have made them. They were unnecessary. They were unnecessary. They were totally unnecessary. If it's now, I tell the guy, wear the shoe. Shine it well. Borrow your friend's or nobody. Wait, what did my tell your friend, man? This your shoe is nice. Let me wear it for the wedding. Those days, I asked my wife, those days, I said, why don't people rent wedding gown? How can you rent wedding gown? That time, it was forbidden. I said, remember my wife's wedding gown. I won't tell you how much it was. Wedding gown. She brought it out of the box last week for me to look. I said, you were this thing that time. Shoot the girl. And the woman who made it came to the house in the morning to dress her up. But now, man, everybody don't wise up. There are now people who now professionally rent out gowns. I told my wife, was this not what I was saying that time? And everybody said, no, how can you wear something that somebody else has used for a wedding? No, be sure. The whole thing I show is after we leave there, we know whether we are really married or whether we are not married. Oh, may the Lord give us understanding.
Amen.
Anyway, let's continue. We are in debt, owing needlessly. If you buy a suit or a shirt or gown or blouse or shoe or hair, you go do hair, wig, and 4 months later, you have to say, madam, please, I'm coming. In the name of Jesus, may it tear. Let it catch fire when you are not wearing it. Hang it outside, thief will collect it and teach you the fear of God. As for your wig, they will collect it in traffic in Lagos. Six months, you are still paying for suit. You should know that suit is not your size. No, I know you think it's... You may think it's your size 52 and it's 52. That's not what I mean. It's not your size. It's your size. It's not your size. You should wear suits that are your size. You go there, you pay. Sharp, sharp, you don't pay, finish. Not as if they want to give offering in church. You remove the one for the person you bought cloth from. 6 months after. You should know you're Satan... You know, you need to pray that someone like God, let sin not have dominion over me. Because at that one, you're operating under the dominion of Satan. This life, you must need, there are things you don't own, not clothes. In this Nigeria of today. Come. There are too many free clothes flying around. Too many. Just look one bro, say, oh boy. And look, I'm telling you. One day my wife removed one gown. She was wrapping. I said, where are you going with it? So last time I wore this, one sister tapped me and said, madam, this gown is fine. Can I have it? So, and no, if you want to collect my wife's cloth, that's how you do it too. No, I'm being honest with you. No, what I've told has happened to me. That's how to do these things. Some people say, no, I can't wear what somebody else has worn. And you don't have. You are very stupid. What is the big deal about? You go wear this shoe. Say, say this shoe. Now for Kemu Tilega, collect that. You know what happened last time? Last Tuesday, we finished it. Was it still Saturday? I think it was Tuesday. Yes. You know, sometimes when I rush into the car, I wear slippers, enter the car. Then I carry my shoe. So sometimes I come, I don't have a meeting early, I just come up. So before meeting, I wear my shoes properly. So when we're leaving, I had my slippers in my hand. As I got downstairs, one guy was walking past. So he stopped. Just hanging around, we were talking. So I thought he wanted to beg me for money. So I'm looking at the guy. After a while, when I looked in his direction, he did like this. He pointed at my hands. So I looked like, what? He pointed again. I said, the slippers? He said, yes. And now, this slippers, believe me, it was given to me in the U.S. I'm not kidding. Went to my wife's uncle's place. He said, what do I give you guys? You came with? And the guy likes giving gifts. He said, this is very nice, very comfortable. And I've worn it since. I love it. The guy pointed at it. So I told him, no. I told the guy, no. No. I said, no. I said, I can give you money to go and buy your own. So I did my hand in my pocket and said, take money, go and buy your own. The guy said, no. He pointed the slippers again. Then he removed the slippers he was wearing and showed me the hole. My wife was with me. I looked at my wife. I said, this guy don't win. I hand on to the guy. He removed the two on his feet, dropped in the gutter. What that one? Stood like this, looked at himself, smiled, and continued walking. I'm serious. You were there that time. All of us were only like, what is going on here? I offered him money. He said no. He pointed at him like this. This is how he did. In fact, what I'm telling you is exactly what happened. He looked at it. Is it like this? The Lord is good. You say, am I not coveting my neighbor's good? Listen, let me tell you something about covetousness. It's what the Bible calls gleaning. Gleaning is that I don't have my own farm. I don't have my own grain. This man has, God has commanded that he shouldn't chop everything. So like, what's her name? Ruth. I go to when they are harvesting and I wait for my portion. That is it though. You cannot, if you must break the law, break the simpler laws. You can't put yourself in debt because you want to wear expensive clothes. It's against the law of God. It's not right. It's not right. There are certain kinds of things you're not allowed to take peace away from you. Even if I don't have a car, if you don't have, please, it means all the keke drivers and the bus drivers in town, they are your drivers. Oh, I enjoy that in Lagos. Your bus breaks down, I come down, enter the next one. Fuel is scarce, what do you concern me? I just increase the amount I pay each time. Maintain the car first, you will know. CVMS, ask that man to explain to you. To buy a car is the simplest of your problems. Keep it on the road. That is where you know you are blessed. To keep it running, the Lord is good. Where were we, Apostle? How are we talking all this talk now? Yeah, that God should give us what? Wisdom and understanding rather than money. All right. Good. 137. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. 138. You have commanded your testimonies in righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. Note that you have commanded your testimonies in what? In righteousness and exceeding faithfulness. That is, when you tell us do this, it's for our own good. When you say don't, it's for our own good. That's what he was saying. He said, my zeal has consumed me because my adversaries have forgotten your words. 140. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. That is, I'm wondering why people are not coming after this thing. That's what David was saying. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness and everlasting righteousness. And your law is truth. That's it. Your righteousness is everlasting. And your law is truth. That's the thing we should operate by. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. 144. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Please sit down. We need to stop here. We can't read further. We have spoken quite a lot. Now, that 143, I need to just pass a comment on it. There's just one thing I want to emphasize today. And I just want to pick on it from that 143. He said, trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. Now, why am I bringing this? I want to just, what I did today was that I took time, I went from the beginning of that Psalm 119 and read through it from the beginning to the end to pick, and I feel that's what the Spirit wants us to just take away from here today, to pick how we are supposed to respond to trials, to enmity, like I said here, to troubles, to anguish when they come upon us. I went through Psalm 119, beginning to the end, and I'm going to just rush through and read all of them for you to see what David said about how to react when there's trouble. I'll give you the verses, then I'll read it. Then I say some things about it, then we close, just watching the time. Now, we have seen that this whole thing is about loving the word of God and being concerned that our lives are, you know, conformed to the precepts of God, to his righteousness. Now, I'm just going to take them one by one. First occurrence that I picked out, I picked it in a hurry, so I may leave one or two, I may have omitted one or two, but the ones I've picked, let's look at it together. In verse 23, don't bother opening it because it will take time. In verse 23, David said this. He said, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Note that. People are conspiring against me. What am I doing? I am meditating on your statutes. In verse 61, he goes back to it. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. That is, when trouble encircles me, I am checking to be sure I have not departed from your instructions. Just follow that. In verse 87, he says, they almost destroyed me on the earth. In fact, let me go back to 86. All your commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Lord, help me. He said, help me. Now listen to this, 87. This persecution ended with one thing. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Every power fighting my destiny, they did not tell it to die by fire. The church was persecuted in the book of Acts. They beat Peter and Cole. They went to their own company. They said, Lord, behold, they are threatening. So now what are you going to do? Make sure we do not forsake the instruction that the Lord Jesus gave us when he was living. Are you getting my point? Make sure we don't. Please help us by giving us boldness so that this threat will not scare us. They did not say, God, kill the Pharisees. David said here, they almost destroyed me on the earth, but what was my focus? Please make sure I do not depart from your law. They almost destroyed me on the earth, David said. As for me, I made sure I did not forsake your precepts. I did not depart from where you said I should stay. I did not start looking for another job to do because of hunger. Yes, that's what people do. When hunger almost destroys, they say, but let me find something else to do. Preaching this gospel is not good. I was talking about John G. Lake on Saturday. I got home later, I was reading a letter he wrote to Charles Parham. I told my wife, I said, God, this man saved God. He wrote to Parham and said, after driving my body hard for 30 years, I couldn't keep going, so I needed to take a rest. He said, in that process, that Satan has collected all my money, that I'm flat broke now. I don't know whether I get the point. He wasn't complaining, he was just trying to explain to Parham why he can't do some things. That, are you planning to do this? Ah, my brother. I felt bad though. I sat there again and said, Jesus, this man was broke. Having preached aggressively for 30 years, yet he was strategizing, what next do we do? So as soon as I get some money, no, we need to make some new plans to preach some more. He was telling Parham, I heard that you said you want to go to Africa. He said, is it just you are hoping to go or you really want to go? You get my point? He was ready to to assist. He said, look, I've gained my strength back. We need to move. He said, but right now, Kai, nothing. I don't have anything right now. So we'll keep, you know, like we'll keep praying. Not for one moment did he show any regrets. That was a millionaire before I started preaching this gospel. He said, they almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake your precepts. Verse 95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. What will I do? I shall diligently consider your testimonies. Saul is pursuing me up and down because he heard I was anointed king. But I will not stretch forth my hand to touch the Lord's anointed. That's what he's saying here. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. As a result, what am I going to do? I shall diligently consider your testimonies. I will not forsake your instructions. Let me just read it for New Living Translation. It said, though the wicked hide along the way to kill me, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. Let's continue reading. I told you I marked the ones I could in a hurry. I mean, I've missed one or two here and there. 110, that's 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. Are you seeing the way you handle the troubles of life? 115. Depart from me, evildoers, that I may observe the commandments of my God. 134, that's verse 134. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. That I may keep your precepts. 143, the one we read just now. Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet your commandments are my delight. 150, those who follow after wickedness draw near. That is, they want to attack me. If you read New Living Translation, it makes it clear. He said, they are far from your law. He said, but look at me. Verse 151, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Wicked people are, you know, they are coming to attack me. Man is there, just look around. The Lord is near. How do I know that? I'm obeying his commandments. I know that his commandments are all true. 157. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. Yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies. I said, we're going to read all of it. 161. Princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your words. That's the last one. I said earlier, I may have missed one or two because I did it in a hurry. I just had to read the whole thing again. I did it in a hurry, so I may have missed one or two. But you can see the attitude that David had and is teaching us here, and that's why I call it the most important prayer. What we Christians do these days is not the prayer of God. We gather and fire arrows against all our enemies. It's not the prayer of God. We sit down and say that all the people in Asia will not prosper. This year, the one I was watching that day, I think I still have it here. The man said, oh, everybody hanging between the heaven and the earth because of you, fighting your destiny, saying you will not marry. I said to them, die, 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 die. And the whole church was vibrating. They were vibrating. You know what David said? When they are saying I won't make progress, I turn around and check what God has said about progress. Okay. When they are hanging between the heaven and the earth, I take my scripture and check where I'm hanging. Are you getting my point? Yes. They are hanging between where? Heaven and the earth. Where am I hanging? In heavenly places, on God's right hand, with Christ Jesus, far above hangers. Are you getting my point? As for me, I meditate on your testimonies. I don't have to, you know, people say that, the pastor said, I fly, I jam them. Does it make sense? I'm seated in heavenly places. I should not from there come down to be jamming those who are hanging between the heaven and the earth. You don't know where you are seated. That's why you are jamming them. That's what I keep on emphasizing. Christians, oh, your life will be sweet if you just know how to just pray God's word and don't worry about other people. They are not sleeping at night because of you. David said, as for me, I will meditate on what the Lord said about sleep. And what did he say? He gives to his beloved even while they are asleep. He said, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. My God keeps awake. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. That is, I meditate on what? His precepts. So when you go to certain church, they're asking where your placenta is. The Bible says, Pastor, I'm coming. I will open my Bible and find out where my placenta is. My placenta is joined to God. That's what he said. The life is in Christ. And if I believe, his life is flowing from him to me. He said, abide in the vine. Is that what he said? Yes. What is a placenta? It's not where you draw life from. It's just, so I found it. I meditate on your precepts. But where did they bury it? Say, what does it matter? It's buried in the Bible. I can check it. My current placenta is buried with Christ. It's attached to Christ. It cannot be cut. As long as I'm of faith in him, it's attached to him. Who cares about one that somebody used, the old man used when he was in the mother's womb, that rotted away long ago, has no effect in my life today. If anyone is in Christ, a new creature, all things have passed away. Can you see what I'm saying? So when the occultists gather against me, I meditate on his precepts. I don't worry about them. I don't worry about them. You know, to be a Christian is good, though. The amount of freedom that God has given, I won't sell it for anything. No, I won't walk away from it. If you preach in any preaching, any kind of preaching that takes away that liberty I have in Christ, I won't listen to you. No, I won't listen to you. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. We went through more than 10 verses now, or about 10 verses, and we saw what David said. He too had enemies. He said, princes gather to conspire against me. He said, as for me, I meditate on your precepts. I don't talk about them. I don't worry about them. I just meditate on your precepts. Saul is looking for... This was a man who had enemies. Saul is looking for me up and down. What am I supposed to do? I just take the word and read it. The word said, don't touch the Lord's anointed. So, when we see Saul, we dodge, we run away. Let's kill him. No need. Why? He's the Lord's anointed. When God is tired of him, you remove him. I'm not the instrument of God for removing him. Leave me alone. In the office, they are conspiring. Promotion is coming. They don't want you to be promoted. Don't worry. What did I say? If you pray about it, just to calm your heart. Actually, it would have been better for you if you did not know at all. So that God can work and your unbelief won't disturb him. Now that you know, what do? Take the scriptures and start reading. Let me tell you, sometimes don't even read about what the Bible says about promotion. Even though it's good, though, go and read about the second coming of Christ. Buy a book on the trumpet shall sound. The dead in the Christ shall rise first. And those of us who are still alive, we shall be caught up with him. Be rejoicing in that. Fix your hope in heaven. That's what he said. You know, Paul Peter was writing. He told the people, fix your hope steadfastly on what Jesus will bring for you when he returns. That's what he said. Fix it steadfastly. Some of the testimonies we share, God said, look, you know, those are tests. I'm like, they are conspiring. I know my God is on my side. They will not succeed in the name of Jesus. Now, fear. Honestly, some of this talk is fear. If you are really confident, you won't even tell anybody about it. They are conspiring. They don't get work now. Conspiracies for conspirators. That's it. They are conspiring in the office. They are conspirators. Let them conspire. As for me, I just discovered today, I was reading, Psalm 1. The Bible says, blessed is a man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You are talking about it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the Lord, he says, day and night. Oh, Father. Oh, my brother, come, see. He say he will be like it. He say, I said, they're having a meeting now to plot against you. He said, I'm coming. We'll talk about that one. Check this one. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry. Oh, see this one. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I'm excited. Look at what he said. So your head is not correct. Once they say that, you know you have made it in life. Once they declare to you that your head is not correct, just know that your destiny has been finally released. I was just thinking about it today. I was just thinking, I said, Lord, what will people leave this place with? That thing dropped in my mind. So I went from the beginning of that Psalm 1 and read all the verses. I found that David said, this is how I react to troubles. This is how I react to challenges. This is how I react to when people literally are conspiring against me. Don't worry about them. What do? I meditate on his word. I consider his testimonies. I meditate on his precepts. I focus on his law. That's all I do. Let's rise to our feet. Let's do that and close. That's the job of the believer. That's our work. That is our work. That is our work. That's our work. So our school of prayer. What we are doing is we're learning how to pray. You see, our prayer points are changing. So next time you go somewhere, they say that you will pray that the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This year, all the King Uzziahs in Nigeria fall down and scatter. Die. Once they start like that, just bring your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And start reading Sermon on the Mount. Verse from chapter 5. Start reading Sermon on the Mount. Say, King Uzziah, say, I'm coming. Be reading Sermon on the Mount. Just be meditating on Sermon on the Mount. Say, oh, the Lord said that, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Your head will around, say, you should die. Say, what happened? Who died? Say, now King Uzziah, say, they don't bury him. It doesn't concern you. You are focused on what Jesus said. No, believe me, you know the truth, eh? Christians, we have to learn to focus on what is important. When you want to buy a book, don't buy prayer books on how to fight enemies. Buy prayer books on what God has said about your life. Yeah. Buy books that, you know, if you've been coming here for some time, watch the way we pray. I've sat down and analyzed it. Maybe I'm at the back. Pastor Kimonte is praying. You know, the prayer is almost, if you check, it's almost monotonous, in quote, because it's always around the same thing. Thank God for your life. Thank God for His word. Thank God for this. Let's lift up the word of God. Lift up the word. We don't have time for her today. Come on to church. You know, some people say, bring Koboko to church. You seen that one before? Koboko night. We don't have that. No, really. And it's because we are praying with God's word. No, really. That's why we rest on one night. David kept on going about the same thing. Again and again. That's why I'm not ashamed of that gospel. We'll pray the same prayer again and again. Let's begin to give thanks. Say, Lord, thank you for what you have made me in Christ Jesus. If somebody has given you news about conspiracy in your office, it's a good time for you to hear it. Because I have brought the word of God for you this evening. And the Lord said, forget them. You meditate on the word. The Lord said, forget them. You meditate on the precepts. The Lord said, forget them. There's conspiracy of the economy, you know that. The Lord said, no, you meditate on righteousness. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. They'll tell you your in-laws are conspiring against you. The Lord said, meditate on how to love your wife. That's it. Meditate on how to love your husband. Don't respond to those conspiracies. No, don't. They don't want you promoted in this office. God said, don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about it. You just be giving thanks that I'm working in your life. Just be declaring the word of God there. Say, all things work together for my good. That's meditating on God's word. Because I love the Lord. David said, Lord, show honor, show grace to me. Be merciful as you do as a habit to those who love your name. Say, Lord, I love your name. I love your name. I trust in your mercy. I trust in your love. I trust in everything that you are bringing. I look forward steadfastly for that hope that Jesus is bringing for me. Let them be conspiring. That's their problem. As a matter of fact, no, give God thanks for who He is. Go and listen to our series, Seven Names of God. He is a lifter of men, not the office. Your boss is not the one lifting you in your own office. He's not your boss. It's God. Say, Lord, I give you thanks. I worship you this evening. You are the lifter of people. You are the one that pulls down one and brings up another. That's what you should meditate upon. When you hear this conspiracy, I feel like some people need to hear this. Somebody's been troubling you. Yeah. You need to go and see somebody. You have to go and see your guy so that they will know that what they are saying against you is not true. Don't go. I command you, do not go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. The Lord is your vindicator. He will vindicate you. He will take charge of that which concerns you. The Bible says that He perfects all things that concerns me. Just meditate on that word. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are perfecting everything that concerns me. Princes persecute me without a cause. But my heart stands in awe of your words. My heart stands in awe of your words. That's what David said. David, I like the way New Living Translation says it. He said, my heart trembles only at your word. Only at your word. I'm only concerned. Okay, princes are angry with me. Rulers, you know, governors, senators, presidents. They're angry with me. But I'm checking only, is God angry with me? If He's not angry with me, 162, He says, I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure. I start rejoicing because of what I have found in the scriptures. Give thanks this evening. Say, Lord, I thank you. You are the ruler amongst men. You are the governor among the nations. Give him thanks. Say, Lord, you are the governor among the nations. My boss is not God. Nobody can conspire against me if the Lord is not against me. Let's meditate on those precepts. Give God thanks this evening for what he has done for you in Christ Jesus. Thank him. Say, Lord, I know you have forgiven me. Give God thanks. Say, Lord, I know you have forgiven me. In myself, I'm not perfect, but your mercy is working in my life. I'm receiving what Jesus sowed for me. Other men labored, Jesus was saying, we can apply it to him. He labored. I'm walking into his harvest. Say, Jesus, I thank you. The success of my ministry is you. The success of my calling is you. The success of my business, promotion in my life is you. It's nobody else. So I'm not afraid of people. I'm not, you know, you see Christians all the time. Islam. Oh, Islam is planning this. They are planning Sukuk bond. They are planning Islamic bond. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pray for the church in Nigeria. Say, Lord, help us to focus on what is true. Like one man said, this Islamic agenda thing is a distraction. The church is not focused on what is true. Yeah. Say, Lord, help us. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, help. You can use my words, though. If you don't know how words to use, you can use the words. You can pray in the spirit. You can use your own words. But pray. Say, Lord, have mercy upon the church in Nigeria so that we may focus on your word. There's one that David said we didn't get to it. It's at the end of that portion. He was saying that I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. That's 176. He said, I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Say, Lord, come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands. Let's pray for the church in Nigeria. Say, Lord, come and find us. Pray that prayer. That's that's verse 176. Say, Lord, seek your servant. Bring us back so we can focus on what is important. So we want to focus on righteousness. We want to focus on holiness. We want to focus on the truth. We want to focus on Christ Jesus. We want to focus on what you have done for us by the sacrifice of Jesus. We have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek us, Lord, your servant. Bring us back to following your commandments. Let us not forget what is important. Very important prayer. Let's pray that prayer. Pray for the church of God. And pray for yourself again. Say, Lord, incline my heart to your testimony. Not to conspiracy. This is the word of the Lord. Don't call a conspiracy what they call a conspiracy. Don't fear their fear. Declare, they say, Lord, I will not call a conspiracy what they call a conspiracy. Those things are physically real, but for you, you refuse to call it a conspiracy. He said, neither fear you their fears. He said, let the Lord alone be your fear and your dread. That is, fear him. Fear him. Make sure you don't disobey him. Make sure you don't disagree with him. Declare, say, Lord, only you are my fear. Yes, you are the only one I fear. You are the only one I fear. I don't want to be wrong as far as you are concerned. Let everybody say I'm wrong. Let them call me names. But Lord, I don't want to be wrong in your presence. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Pray like David again. Give me understanding in your precepts. Give me understanding in your testimonies. I long for your salvation, Lord. Your law is my delight. Give me an understanding according to your word. Important prayer. These are very important prayers. These are very important prayers. He said, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Praise the Lord, give me understanding. Like I said, if you have to ask God for something, that's what you ask for. He said, in the place where I am in life right now, teach me. I'm having problems with my husband. Lord, teach me, teach me. I'm not here to say his mother has never liked me, which is the story we like to tell. His mother has never liked me. His mother has never liked me. And your friends be conspiring. They want him to marry another wife. Forget those conspiracy theories. Say, Lord, teach me how to be a good wife. Teach me how to be a good mother. Teach me how to be a child of God indeed in the home. I want to meditate on your precepts. Say, Lord, from today, I will not worry about my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, any in-law. Some Christians are so concerned about it. It's my in-laws that's the trouble. I have the word of God for you today. It's not them. You meditate on the precepts. You meditate on the precepts. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Pray, say, Lord, give me understanding. Say, Lord, give me understanding. One more prayer. Say, Lord, give me the bread for this season. Yeah, what does that mean? There's a word with which you do warfare. You go to work, there's one word God has for you for today. You go, you are running a ministry, there's one word God has for you for today. You are in politics, there's one word God has for you for today. You are a mother, there's one word for raising your children in this season. When your child was a baby, when they were babies, there was a word. They are leaving the home now without you. They are going to school, mingling with other children from different homes. You need a new word to hold them. This is, I taught my children a new one. When you ask my children, I say, well, how are you? They say, I am taught of the Lord. Great is my peace. That's a word. That's a word. You need the word. Say, Lord, give me the word for this season. Children can go out and they get misled. There is a word with which you raise them. Say, Lord, for this season of my life, give me the word. Say, Lord, I ask you for the word. My business is having problems. Give me the word. Give me the word. Give me the word. I don't want to walk blindly. Give me the word. Give me the precepts, Lord, to follow. Everybody declare, say, in the name of Jesus, I'm an overcomer.
In the name of Jesus, I'm an overcomer.
Because I am in Christ.
Because I am in Christ.
I am seated in heavenly places.
I am seated in heavenly places.
Now, why we need to say that, all right, is so that we know that it's not as if we are saying that these other things don't exist. We are just saying we are high. We are in Christ. Are you getting my point? And that's why we pray the way we pray. All our prayer is so that we can be established in the place that God has called us to. Declare it again. Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm a winner.
I am not a loser. Christ is in me. I have been redeemed. My sins are forgiven.
I'm washed.
And I'm constantly being washed.
It's
important. Say, I'm washed.
My sins are washed away.
Every handwriting against me has been washed away. I like to say this. Say, ancestral curses have been washed away. Familiar spirits have been cleansed out of my life.
Familiar
troubles have been cleansed out of my life. Say, I am free in Christ. Say, I will walk in that liberty. By following the precepts of God,
I walk in my liberty.
Give God thanks for that again. In your own way, just give God thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because I am free. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me what is important. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for teaching me what is important. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks for today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you're blessed, they give me an amen.
Amen.
The word for today, please, don't worry about conspiracy. He said, don't call what people call a conspiracy. You don't call it a conspiracy. When you see conspiracy, what do you do? What you perceive a conspiracy, what do? You meditate on his precepts. I feel like praying for somebody. Victory has come your way.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believe me, nobody can hold you down. You're a child of God. Oh. Hi. Ogboni people, if they have spiritual eyes, they want to be like you. It's blindness. That's why they are sitting Ogboni. Nobody can keep you down.
Amen.
Your neighbor is not the reason why. Oh, I feel like talking to somebody. Some of you, I'm not talking to you. You're not the reason why I'm thinking like this. But there's some people thinking like this. They came there today. Your neighbor is not why your child is sick. Your child is sick because your child is sick. It's because bacteria. Now, virus is not your neighbor. Medically speaking, if I go and give your child vaccination, if you give vaccination, your neighbor won't worry you again. Your Peking cough, say, ever since they went to watch television in that woman's house. Let's go home. In Jesus' name, it is well with you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, it is well with you.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Freedom in Christ is your portion.
Amen.
You are an overcomer.
Amen.
You are above alone. You are not beneath.
Amen.
When you travel, listen to this. Some of you will travel this week. Safety is your portion.
Amen.
no evil will befall you.
Amen.
You will go safely, you will return safely.
Amen.
When you fly, the plane will land gently because of you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you are on an overloaded boat, it will float properly because of you.
Amen.
Listen, God will protect you and keep you from all evil.
Amen.
I have only one word for you. Be confident. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid.
Because God is on your side.
Tell somebody and say,
don't be afraid.
The Lord is on your side. Grab another person. Say, please don't be afraid. Say, there's no need.
The
Lord is on your side.
You know why Satan tries to scare people? That's number one way to make them sink.
When Peter sank, Jesus didn't say, Peter, you don't gain weight. Oh. He didn't say so. Did he say so? He didn't say, Peter, I understand. This storm is too much. He didn't say, Peter, now you understand that you are not a fish. What were you doing on the water? He didn't say that. There's only one thing he said. Why did you doubt? Are you getting my point? It's like somebody's driving and he had an accident. Why did you overspeed? You know that kind of thing. You didn't say, why did they put that rock there? No. You say, why did you overspeed? In the same manner, Peter didn't sin because the economy of the country was bad. Are you getting my point? Peter sank simply because of what?
Doubt.
Jesus said, why did you doubt? Please tell your neighbor, don't be afraid.
Don't
be afraid. Say, that fear is a problem.
Say,
forsake fear.
Forsake.
Walk in faith in the name of Jesus.
Walk in faith in the name of Jesus.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's share the grace in fellowship. One, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wait, please. I just realized that that's what we have been saying. So let's do it with more power. Amen?
Amen.
Hold two people now. Charge the air. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one, two, let's go. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Now bless somebody on your left or your right. Don't leave the hands. Don't turn your head. Turn your head to somebody else. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now say something about yourself.
This is
my season of multiplication and dominion. All right, cheer up, brethren. God bless you.